Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazenia. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Welcome to Live with Passion. I'm Father Cedric Pazenia. I'm a Catholic priest, and I am dedicated to helping you develop a personal relationship with Jesus. This happened to me years ago. I'm continuing in this relationship, and I want everybody that watches my program to know Jesus. Jesus said, I call you friends, and I want you to develop a relationship, to have a friendship with Jesus, to know him in a deep, intimate way, and to know that he loves you and he died for you on the cross. Whether you're going to church or not, you can know Jesus. And I pray that through knowledge of Jesus, through coming to know him as your friend, you will go to church and participate in the community. Let me share the scripture with you, and we'll break this open the best I can. Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, come to me. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and meek of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Heard a story about this white man and African-American man. They're driving down the street, and all of a sudden they get into an argument of all things. They start arguing about what Jesus looked like. And the white man said, well, haven't you seen the movies? Jesus was white. And the dark man said, well, he was Middle Eastern. He would have been dark in complexion. And so, I mean, they were arguing so much, they ended up getting in an accident. They both got killed. They got ushered up to the pearly gates at the same moment. And then Jesus came walking to them, and guess what he said? Buenos dias, señores. So the whole point of the story is, you know, the Gospels, the Bible, isn't interested in what Jesus looked like. Was he dark? Probably, because he was Middle Eastern. Was he white like the movies? Probably not. He had a more of a dark complexion. But that's not the point of the Gospels. When we look at the Bible, when we look at the Gospels, they're not interested in what he looked like. That's what we want to know today in this age of TV. We want to see pictures of Jesus. You know, we go to the movies and different things. We want to have portraits. You can see the portrait by Richard Hooke. This is one of my favorite portraits of Jesus. I really like that. I have that hung in my room. But I do want to tell you that while we don't have portraits of Jesus, what he looked like in the Bible, we don't know exactly if he had long hair or a beard or anything. But we do know we have portraits of his character, of his deeds. And these portraits can actually lead us to know him. You know, it's interesting, when you read history about Abraham Lincoln or about George Washington, you read about these characters and you can come to know about them. But this is different. The Gospels, the four Gospels, are different. When you read about Jesus, you're not just reading about history here, and you don't just come to know about Jesus. This is inspired literature. This is God-breathed literature. That's what it means. Inspired in the Greek means God-breathed. There's something different about the Word of God. There's power in it. The Gospels are Paul the Apostle said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. So there's power in these documents. That you don't just know about Jesus, you can come to know Jesus. That's a word in the Greek, to know. It represented intimacy that a husband and wife have. So there's a deep knowing that can occur. Let me just tell you a little bit about the Gospels as I learned them in the seminary. it's really not right to take all four Gospels and meld them all together. Because if you do that, you're just going to kind of get a big, thick ball of stuff. The Gospels were all written in different places by different communities with a different purpose. For example, and they all give us a portrait of Jesus, not what he looked like, but who he was, his character. A theology emerges. And just really briefly, just to give you a little nugget, Mark was the first gospel written. I know Matthew comes first in the Bible. Scholars all agree. Mark was written first. Matthew and Luke come from Mark. John was a separate gospel. These three gospels are called the synoptic gospels. That synoptic means they see together. They're very similar. They used each other. Mark, Matthew, and Luke. Okay, so Mark, for example, we get a very human Jesus. It's the shortest gospel. It was the first one written. And the one verse, if I could choose one verse from the Gospel of Mark that sums it up, 10:45, Jesus said, "I have come not to be served, but to serve, and to give my life as a ransom for many." That sums up the Gospel of Mark in a nutshell. Not to be served, but to serve, Jesus said, and to give my life as a ransom for many. That's why Jesus came in the Gospel of Mark. And then Matthew. Matthew is one of the longer Gospels, Matthew and Luke. Jesus is presented, another portrait of Jesus, as the new Moses. Remember the Sermon on the Mount. He's a teacher. He gives us the new law. And there's a beautiful scripture in there that I love, and I just read it to you. Come to me. Oh, what a gracious Jesus Matthew presents. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy burdened, and I'll give you rest. If Matthew was the gospel writer, we're not sure, Matthew the tax collector, it seems right that he would say, have Jesus saying, come to me, because remember, Matthew was at a tax collector's booth. Jesus came by and he said, come. Follow me. That's a thread that runs through all four Gospels, whatever the portrait is. All four Gospels have Jesus saying, come, follow me, come to me. And it's an invitation, not just for 2,000 years ago, for Matthew the tax collector or prostitutes or whoever. It's an invitation for you and me. Maybe you've been going to church. Maybe you've been reading different books about Jesus, and you know, there is a plethora of books about Jesus. I like my book, Come Encounter Jesus, and He Touched Me. Those are two good books to help you to get to know the Lord. But that invitation's for you right now to come to Jesus, to come to know Him right where you are, watching TV. See, even though He lived 2,000 years ago, you can come to know Him, not just know about Him, you can come to know Him because He's resurrected. He's alive. That's what makes us different from any other historical person. Jesus is alive now and with us. And then other Gospels have a portrait of Jesus. The Gospel of Luke, for example. In Luke, Jesus is a Spirit-anointed prophet. Remember, he comes to Nazareth. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to proclaim good news. And that's the one verse I wanted to proclaim to you. I had that read at my ordination because that's what a priest does. The primary duty of a priest, this is right from our Catholic documents, is to proclaim the gospel of God to all people. That's why we're ordained a priest. Certainly to serve, certainly to celebrate sacraments and celebrate the Eucharist. But the primary duty of a priest, and this is what I'm doing on TV and writing my books and preaching the parish missions that I do. The primary duty of a priest is to preach the gospel. Gospel means good news, the four Gospels. It's good news. Good news about friendship with Jesus. Good news about a personal relationship with Jesus. Good news that He died for us. It's good news. So that's another portrait of Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. Then John, remember what I said, Matthew, Mark, and Luke are synoptic Gospels. That's a word that means seeing together. They're very similar. Matthew and Luke came from Mark. Mark was the first one written, so they all see together. John is a totally different gospel, totally different community, totally different issues. The latest gospel written It was written probably 20, 30 years after the other Gospels. Scholars can decipher all this. They can figure all this out. And they teach us that John's Gospel, very divine Jesus, a portrait of Jesus that we get. Again, we don't know what he looked like, but we know his character and who he was by the Gospel. The Word made flesh, the Word dwelling with God from all eternity made flesh. That's what it says in John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. So don't think about a word as being like a word that I'm speaking. Think about it as being the expression of God, the very breath of God, the very character of God made flesh and tabernacled among us. Remember the tabernacles in the desert? He now dwells with us. And I love what it says in the Gospel of John. Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will never die, but will live." So my purpose here is, what I'm trying to explain to you is, and I've studied all this in the seminary, and I got to study in Israel. It was wonderful. My purpose is to try to proclaim to you that there are four different portraits of Jesus in the Gospels. All have their own theology, all have their own purpose. So do you understand that you're not supposed to take four portraits and merge them into one? Otherwise, you're going to get a real kind of strange portrait of Jesus, just kind of haphazard. No, let each gospel speak for itself. Let each gospel proclaim to you who Jesus is. But each gospel, as I said, isn't trying to give us what Jesus looked like, you know, as much as we all want to know that. It's trying to invite us into a relationship with him. That's the purpose of the Gospels. The purpose of the Gospels is to proclaim Jesus as the Son of God, as the Word made flesh, who invites us. Remember, come to me. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy burdened. He was talking about being labored with the burdens of the law, being labored with religion that is harsh and black and white, labored with all this stuff that religion can bring. And Jesus said, come to me and I'll give you rest. Rest, not condemnation, not guilt, not shame, rest. So let's talk more about this. As I said, these documents, the Gospels, the four Gospels that we have, canonized, proclaimed by the church for 2,000 years, they are unlike any other book you will ever read about Jesus. These are the primary sources that we have about Jesus of Nazareth. Who was he? The Gospels tell us. What did he teach? The Gospels tell us. But remember now, the Word of God, there's power in it. So something can happen as you come to the Word of God. You can begin to know in a personal way who Jesus is. Saint Jerome, one of the early saints of the church, lived in the 300s, biblical scholar. He said something kind of interesting. He said, ignorance of the Gospels is ignorance of Christ. I know that's kind of a harsh saying. Another word to say it is, if you don't know the Gospels, you won't know who Jesus really is. Another way to say it is, if you do know the Gospels, you will know who Jesus is. That's exactly what happened to me. When I was a young man, I started coming to the Gospels, just started reading. Now, I wasn't a biblical scholar. I hadn't studied in Israel like I have now. I didn't spend all those hours in the classroom. I just came to it and accepted it as it was. Millions and millions of people read the scriptures and Jesus touches them, and you can too. And as I started to read, that's when the character of the Son of God, like a fragrance, started coming from these pages. And I began to know what his will was morally for me. I began to see how he acted in different situations with people. I began to develop the character of Christ. You read the letters of Paul, it's all about, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So you start to become like Jesus, and you start to know Jesus as you read the scriptures. And that is my heart's desire as a Catholic priest. I really want you to encounter Jesus. You know, I'm a missionary. I preach revivals, parish missions in different churches around the United States. my number one goal, even though people are going to church, not everybody knows who Jesus is. They've been brought up in the church, they have religion, but do they know Christ in a personal way? And I'll talk more about what it means to know Christ in a personal way, but an encounter with Jesus. That word encounter means meeting Jesus. That's exactly what happened in the pages of the Gospels. Different people, Bartimaeus, Zacchaeus, Matthew, James, John, Peter, they encountered Jesus. They met him. And even though it's 2,000 years later, remember what I said? Jesus is risen from the dead. It's not like Abraham Lincoln or George Washington or any other historical figure. This is different. This is what revolutionized my life. This is what changed me. You meet him. He is with you. You come to know him through the pages of Scripture and then in prayer. He walks with you through thick and thin. He's faithful. He won't abandon you. Our Pope, we have Pope Francis now. He wrote an apostolic exhortation called The Joy of the Gospel. And there's great joy in the gospel. That's for absolute sure. This is what he said. This is one of the verses he put in The Joy of the Gospel. He said, I invite all Christians, whether you're Catholic or any other denomination, everywhere at this very moment to get this, a renewed personal encounter with Jesus Christ. Maybe you had a personal encounter with him years ago, but you can renew that personal encounter. You can be filled again with the Holy Spirit. So he says, I invite all people to have this renewed encounter. And this is what I'm talking about. This is what the gospel, these are the purpose of the gospels, not just to give us theology, not to just give us a historical background, but that we can encounter the risen Christ. That's what I would do when I preach my missions. I would call it Come Encounter Jesus. I wanted all people that came, I try to create an atmosphere through my preaching that people could have a new, fresh meeting with the Lord. That's what this TV program is all about. I'm praying as you sit there, you will realize that, you know what, Jesus is speaking to you. He's calling you. He's saying, come to me. And that right where you are, whether you're in a hospital, a home, a hotel, prison, you can meet Jesus right where you are. Remember, he's risen. He's there with you. He has the ability to go through walls, to travel time. He's right there. This is different than any other book you will ever read. It's the risen Jesus, and you can come and encounter him. So that's what I would do on my missions. That's what I'm doing through my TV programs. And it's interesting what the Pope said. He said, no one should think that this invitation is not meant for him or her. It's meant for you. That's how gracious our God is. Whatever your past is, whatever sins you're committing now, this encounter is for you. And that's borne out by the Gospels. The people that encountered Jesus were not the best people. In fact, some of the best people in the Gospels had trouble with Jesus. As you know, the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, the lawyers, they thought they knew it all. They had a black and white mentality. And who is this carpenter from Galilee? But the people who encountered Jesus were the ones who were humble, who admitted their need. Women, tax collectors, prostitutes, blind people, sinners, hurting people. These are the people that had their lives changed by an encounter with Jesus because they realized that, you know what? Jesus came for them. It's not the healthy that need a doctor, Jesus said. It's the sick. I haven't come to call the righteous, he said, but sinners to repentance. And we all fall into that category. All you got to do is humble yourself. No matter what your life is like right now, no matter what you've been doing, no matter what you're going through, Jesus is for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever, the largest sinner, the most religious person, believes in him. That's the criteria. I want you to believe that he's for you. That's what changed my life. Would not perish, but have eternal life. That's John 3:16. I love that verse. So, Jesus, one thread that is clear throughout the Gospels, you know, I told you, four different Gospels, four different portraits, but one thread that's absolutely clear through all the Gospels is that Jesus was inclusive, inclusive. You know what that means? As he said, whoever comes to me, I will no wise cast out. In other words, he accepted people. He was inclusive. As I said, tax collectors, sinners, you name it. So this is good news. I mean, you might be thinking, well, I didn't grow up in a church, or, you know, I'm not good enough, or I've betrayed my faith. Inclusive. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy burdened, and I'll give you rest, all the rest that Jesus brings. I remember when I wasn't so religious. That was back growing up in high school, college. Grew up in Massachusetts, born and baptized Catholic, but like many teenagers, I fell away. Well, I was dating a girl in college. She took me to, this is Massachusetts, in Boston, they have the old Charles Theater. We went to a play, a religious play, which was pretty atypical for us because both of us were not religious. The play that we went to was called Godspell. Well, Godspell was based on the Gospel of Matthew. They took the stories, the parables, the scenes from the Gospel of Matthew, and well, they should, because remember what I said, you don't meld all the Gospels together. That just doesn't work. You take each Gospel gives you a portrait of Jesus. In the Gospel of Matthew, they did it very humorously. You know, the parables and Jesus himself and all that happened. And I was sitting there. I was sitting there, and there must have been a couple hundred people, old Charles Theater, very small. We're all focused there on the play. And, you know, I had no interest in Jesus. I grew up with Jesus, but I had no interest because at that time, you know, I'm dating this girl and everything. And I cannot tell you how magnetic that play was. I saw the humor. I saw the truth. I saw the person of Jesus in a way I never saw before through the medium of theater. And you know, the Gospels can come through a book, they can come through theater, TV programs, music, movies, all kinds of different ways. You can encounter Jesus in a multitude of different ways. So the Gospel isn't just strictly a book, it's alive. Well, anyway, the magnetism, I realized that, you know what, I needed to change, that my life wasn't right, that I didn't belong to Jesus and he didn't belong to me. And I cannot tell you how my heart moved watching that play. Did I change right at that moment? No. It took me some time. I was still dating the girl. Finally, we broke up. I was so lonely and hurting that I reached out to Jesus and he reached out to me. See, I never forgot that moment. What happens is God will plant seeds in your heart through TV programs and through people, through events that happen. Maybe it's a funeral that you go to. And those seeds are that call. Remember what I said runs through, the thread that runs through all four Gospels? Come to me. Come, follow me. So there's over and over and over and over again, God will keep calling you. And then finally, hopefully, while there's time, while there's opportunity, you will respond and say, yes, now's the time. I want to know you. I want to grow with you. I want a personal relationship with you. And that's what happened with me. And wow, did my life change. Remember what he said, I will give you rest, the peace that Jesus brings. You know, I still have to encounter life and there's still different things that happen to me, but wow, nothing like what I had before. I mean, now I don't walk alone. I walk with the Lord. There's a personal relationship. This is Father Cedric Pizania. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs. You can listen to more podcasts. You can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more.
I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again. Don't just live, live with passion.